5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And as we move closer towards 2024, already doing periodic candidate interviews as people announce for office. What are those today? And Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General, recently announced. Will, thanks for being on.
Hey, thank you so much.
So I guess the first question I've got to ask anytime I have an attorney on in some framework, because I've always found the legal profession so fascinating, is why did you become an attorney?
Oh yeah, what a hard question. I think at the time I was really interested in, in my early 20s, I was really interested in, making money and being powerful. And it seemed like attorney was a thing that you could do that. And it was probably once I got in law school that my heart really changed towards how the profession can be so impactful in helping other people. But I think originally my motives were kind of what most 21-year-old or 22-year-old boys think about.
Talk about your background and the type of work you've done as an attorney.
Yeah, so my background is I was a prosecutor in Yamhill County and then recruited away to Marion County to join their special victims unit. So I was a child sex abuse prosecutor for a number of years. And then I went to D.C. to do that on the national level. And then in D.C., I ran into an organization called IJM. And IJM asked me to lead these teams exclusively in Africa. So I was in East Africa, and then most recently I was living in West Africa. And what I would do is I'd work with the government to rescue human trafficking victims, child slaves, and then prosecute slave traders and masters. We also got some money from the U.S. State Department to go into the Middle East and rescue West African women that are trafficked for labor or for sex. But my main focus was on protecting children from being trafficked. And now I'm running for office. So that's kind of where that career ended.
Yeah, what led to your decision to go overseas? That's quite a different bit of a course shift there.
I guess in jest, I always say my wife and I disliked living in Washington, D.C. so much that northern Uganda started sounding pretty good to us. But in reality, we saw an opportunity. There was real problems, and the government was struggling to protect people from violence, and they needed our help. And so I don't think we ever really wanted to move overseas and do that, but we felt really duty-bound to go and be part of that solution.
And what led to your deciding to come back?
Similar. Every year, I've always had my residence in Oregon, so every year my company would fly me back to Oregon for a month or two. And just watching the decay of law and order and governance in the state of Oregon over the last 8 years that I've been gone, it's shocking. It's like every year I would come back, it was the frame by frame by frame death of a state. And what I saw was a lack of leadership. So it's never really been in my game plan to run for public office. I've been a public servant and loved doing it. So honored to be able to do that. I felt duty bound to come back. I'm a sixth generation Oregonian and try to be part of a change that's going to be focused on protecting people from violence and making this a state that we're proud of and that people are thriving in.
Now, are you currently practicing as an attorney?
I'm barred to practice, but because I'm running full time 6 days a week, I'm not actually actively practicing.
And what led to your decision to pick the office of attorney general versus going into some other realm?
Well, during Kate Brown's tenure as the governor, she, caught a lot of flack, and she should have, for the decisions that she was making. But I was always shocked and watching from afar of how little people were paying attention to the role of the attorney general in, one, actually limiting executive power, holding Kate Brown within the limits of her power, which she went way beyond. And two, the role of the attorney general as Oregon's top cop in dealing with crime and addiction and writing ballot measures. People don't know the attorney general writes ballot measures, and we've had some really destructive ballot measures recently, most notably ballot measure 110. And the attorney general didn't speak out against that, and actually sort of ushered it in. And ripped our state apart. I mean, I think ballot measure 110 literally ripped our state apart. So the Attorney General has a huge amount of positive power to influence both criminal justice and business in the state. And I think that I can make a big difference in that position.
Do you think the average Oregonian really doesn't understand what the office can do and does?
Yeah, they don't. If you have an attorney general that's doing their job well, you don't know their name or you don't know they exist. And they only come to the forefront like Ellen has come to the forefront because they're really failing in their job. It's not really a political position. This is a public service position. So it's one of those positions where it impacts almost everything, but often stays invisible. So, you know, when you're running for it, like I'm running for it now, part of the problem is you have to convince people to care about the position and then convince people that you'd be the one to make it better. So it's a double burden, but I'm thankful for opportunities like this because you can help me get the word out.
Do you feel like the office has been too political the past few years?
Extremely political. Ellen has politicized the office in ways that it just did. You know, we've had Republicans in the office long ago, and we've had mostly Democrats for the last several decades, but it's never become so political as it's been in the last 10 years. And it's been weaponized, largely. It's been weaponized. So that needs to change. That has catastrophic effects in people's trust for the government.
What skills do you think you have that would help you lead the office, lead the staff?
Well, so for the last 8 years, I've been an executive leader. When I say that I'm working with the government in Africa, I was leading large multinational teams to do that, multiple offices, working in several different countries. And so what people forget about the Attorney General is that it's really a CEO of a large legal firm or a large legal public corporation. And you have to have leadership experience and you have to have leadership skills. And I was a very productive and very successful leader on the global stage. And I'm going to bring that same skill to Oregon. And I expect to have the same sort of success.
Any idea how many staff are currently in the Attorney General's office?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit opaque, but I think it's around 1,300.
That number is a bit staggering. I don't think people would necessarily expect that.
Well, I think the budget's more than doubled since I left. And maybe that's the reason you politicize it. When you politicize it, then you can get a bigger budget because, you know, the political entities will start pouring money in seeing you as an asset. But it's a very robust budget. And it's supposed to play a significant role in criminal justice. And just a tiny fraction of that budget's effectively going to criminal justice. And a lot of things are going to things like suing Fox News or banning gas stoves or these sort of like overtly very left, radical left political agendas.
What is an average background like of somebody who is working in the Attorney General's office, or does it really vary a lot?
Yeah, you mean with the employees? It varies wildly. You have attorneys. You have attorneys of different skill sets and backgrounds. Then you have staff, support staff, paralegals, people that are in, like in any large office, human resources, accounting, you know, it has sort of all of those sort of backroom functions that are supporting office.
And as you have been kind of watching how the Attorney General's office has operated for several years, what are some of the specific things you'd do differently?
I mean, there's probably a lot of things. The things that's most top of the mind is Oregon's become this drug depot state. The foreign drug cartel has moved into our state in ways I would never thought imaginable 10 years ago. And the Attorney General plays this important role. So drug trafficking is an organized crime, and all organized crime is sort of the investigations of all organized crime are under the purview of the Attorney General. In other words, the Attorney General's office is supposed to be running point and building strategies that connect counties and cities with the federal government, because these foreign drug cartels, I mean, they're bigger than Portland and they're bigger than Roseburg. And they acquire these sort of like these sort of global strategies. So that's one important role. And the second is just pushing resources to the place that they're needed most. And the Attorney General's office, as it currently stands, is doing almost nothing to deal with this huge drug trafficking crisis that we have in our state. Excuse me. And so the first thing I want to do is lean into organized crime, because drug trafficking is one of those killer crimes that if you have a high degree of drug trafficking, you're also going to have a high degree of human trafficking, which Oregon has now, much more than when I left. Organized retail theft, and then all the things that come out of addiction, sex abuse, child abuse, vandalism, theft, and just random violence. And so you can't really deal with all of this wave of crime in Oregon until you first deal with human drug trafficking. And so I'm going to be throwing our resources straight into that.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County, from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. State Representative Christine Goodwin will talk about a meeting regarding Measure 110. Will Lathrop in with us, the Republican candidate for Attorney General, joining us from the Newburgh area. Obviously, you've gotten into the race a little bit on the early side. What kind of response have you seen to your campaign so far?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, so I started campaigning full-time on January 2nd, so I've been doing this for about 11 months now. And the response has actually been really great. We have around 80 elected officials have already endorsed my campaign. We've raised more money in an off year for a non-gubernatorial candidacy, statewide candidacy, than's really been done before on the Republican Party. So I think we've made some great gains this year, and this is an eminently winnable race, and an important race.
And do you expect much opposition on the Republican side?
Well, it's hard to know what to expect, but right now there's one other person who's filed against me. I don't think he is raising money or looking at support, so I'm not sure what his viability will be. And then, of course, I don't know between now and March who could put in against me, though most of the key players on the Republican side have endorsed me. And like I say, a lot of the money is behind me. So resources are sort of drying up.
When you think about getting the office, should you be elected? Is there kind of a top list of things you'd walk in and start trying to do immediately?
Yeah. One is I would say is rerouting money from the things that we're doing that are political or not crises to dealing with the crime crisis in Oregon. That'd be the first thing. The second thing is corruption. We've had the single party state for a long time, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And one of the key roles of the Attorney General is investigating public officials for criminal acts, and it's just not happening. It just hasn't been happening for quite some time. And the third thing is agency overreach. What people don't really know is that each state agency in Oregon has multiple Department of Justice lawyers that report to the Attorney General assigned to them. And one of their key roles and key functions is to make sure that those state agencies follow the law, that they don't just do whatever they want. And under Kate Brown's administration, she stuffed a lot of our state agencies with activists rather than experts. And these people can't be elected out. They're bureaucrats and they're in there. And it's an important role of the Attorney General is a check and balance against executive power to make sure that these activists are following the law and not just doing whatever they want. And my sense is that a lot of them are just doing whatever they want.
Do you think that the office should be partisan?
No. No, I think it should be a nonpartisan office, like a judge. But that's how it is. So that's what I have to rule under. Because, you know, it's a law execution position. It's not a law creation position. So what you're supposed to do is make sure that everybody's following the law. And I think partisan politics are what really corrupts the purity of justice being blind. And so part of the journey to walk as a attorney general and do it well is to engage with your party and the philosophy behind that, but also go into the office knowing that you're serving everybody and that you're a law. You execute laws. You don't create them.
How much does the attorney general interface or work with the legislature?
Well, you know, the attorney general, traditionally, going back, you know, decades and decades, used to be the office where most of the legislation was written. So like a representative would want a bill, it would be passed through or written by the attorney general's office. But now I think in modern times, the attorney general does propose some bills, some legislation, usually related to things very specific to the attorney general's office. And I think the attorney general's office often testifies on bills, the good and bad of whatever bills are coming across the Senate or the House of Representatives. And then finally, they play a major role in I should also mention, the attorney general's office actually does the ballot titling. So the ballots that you see, the titling they have and some of the language is determined by the attorney general.
And there's always a potential there to, whether purposefully or not, write language in a particular way to shape a point of view.
It's been happening. I mean, the potential used to be there, and now it's absolutely being manipulated to try to reach certain results. We know that if you title things, you know, you can pull on this. If you title things a certain way, it's more likely to sway undecided voters. And there's just no question. Probably the best example of that is, I believe off the top of my head, is ballot measure 112, which was, if your listeners will go read it, is this one that was essentially eliminating work within prisons, but was calling it slavery. And so it was easily elected or easily passed through. And I don't think people knew what they were voting for.
What, as you've been out campaigning and talking to folks, what are the big concerns you're hearing from residents in Oregon?
Well, you know what? I think Oregon's more unified than it's been in a really, really long time, in that everybody's miserable. And they're kind of miserable for the same reasons. They feel like there's an addiction crisis, crime's out of control, nobody has answers to homelessness, and there's a fragile economy. People are worried about the big out-migration that's happening as large businesses leaving the state in the urban and the metro areas. And so I think in a bipartisan way, everybody's very scared about what happens next and are looking for answers. And so, but those are the main things. It's really common. If I talk left, right, or center, the people I talk to are very nervous about crime, addiction, and our economy.
And about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. How can people learn more about your campaign?
Yeah, so you can go to my website. It's willlathrop.com. That's W-I-L-L. And then my last name, L-A-T-H-R-O-P, as in Portland, willlathrop.com. And then you can also just look me up on social media. I think I have a Facebook and an Instagram account and a Twitter account as well, if that's how your listeners like to engage.
And do you plan to be coming to Southern Oregon at some point?
Yeah. I've been a few times already, but we'll be going back again, and I'd be happy to send you that announcement as soon as we have some special scheduled dates.
And if just as we wrap up here, what would you say your number one reason for running is?
One more time?
What would you say your number one reason for running is?
It's because there's a failure of leadership, and Oregon is a disaster, and we need a renewal of leadership. We need fresh ideas and new people to change Oregon.
Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside. Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.